Hello and welcome to the Vivo Life Show. I'm your host, Josh Boulding, co-founder of the plant-based health and fitness supplement company Vivo Life, and we are on a mission to transform the health of people and the planet. And we're not going to stop until we do it. We've been making moves over the past few months, and very, very shortly we'll see the release of a product that I'm so excited about, our vegan multinutrient, 12 key critical nutrients designed to support a plant-based diet and all wrapped up in compostable packaging, and one of our most affordable products yet. So if you haven't checked it out, go and click the link in the show notes. You will be able to join the waiting list and be the first to know when this product arrives. Without further ado, I want to welcome a very special guest to this podcast. He's a man that will need little to no introduction. If you are swimming in the plant-based pool already, you will have heard of the man, the myth, the legend, Derek Simnett. He's a Vivo ambassador, a holistic nutritionist, and very well known for spreading positivity, good vibes, health, fitness, calisthenics, delicious recipes all over YouTube. And someone that I'm super proud to have been working with for the past 3 to 4 years, one of the longest serving Vivo ambassadors and a shining light in our community. You know, someone that despite all the external challenges we faced in 2020, someone that shows up with a smile, consistent, high quality, amazing content that adds value to people's lives. And, you know, in a world where the outside world can feel a little crazy, I think we need these kind of people more than ever right now. So I'm delighted to welcome Derek Simnett to the show. Let's get to it.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks, Josh. That was quite the intro. I appreciate that. Hello to all the listeners, the Vivo Life community. What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Josh, for having me.
You're welcome. You are very welcome. So we're going to jump straight into it and talk to me about your vegan journey and the reason that, you know, you started to follow a plant-based diet and the reason that you have continued to follow a plant-based diet for, you know, what is it, coming up 7-8 years now?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely at least that. I would say closer to 10. Yeah, definitely nice. Closer to 10 years now. I started to transition a little while before that, but there was, you know, a couple bumps in the road, like there often are. Fully like vegan for just about 10 years now. The journey, oh gosh. So really how it started was I've always been interested in, like, you know, in being healthy, because I was always into sports and stuff, but I never really like fully understood what it was to like eat healthy. I thought it was kind of like adding some like broccoli to my like Mr. Noodles and that sort of thing. Like, I never really realized what it was. And so I started to, I was dating a girl at the time, not my current girlfriend, but a different a girl. And she was going to school and studying holistic nutrition. So what I eventually went on to study. And she would come home and start, you know, telling me about how we have to start like buying organic, and we have to start limiting our, like, you know, dairy and meat consumption, or at least starting to buy like more, you know, sort of grass-fed or free-range sort of options, you know, the happy eggs and that sort of thing. And at first I pushed back a little bit, because it was just so, for me, it was like, we were on a bit of a budget. It was really expensive. I felt like I was like doing fine as things were. I didn't really want to change too much. And especially like not, you know, I was heavily eating meat and eggs and everything at that time. And I was like, wow, okay, I don't know if I want to change my life this much. So she started to sort of strategically leave little, you know, like books out or books open to certain pages and stuff like that. And I eventually started reading them, and it all really started to make sense. And I started to see, you know, she was really pushing for me to start buying like organic and free range stuff. And I just, you know, once I started to see how the animals were sort of treated and opened my eyes to conventional animal farming, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm totally on board. Like, I get it. I have to transition into this, and it just feels right. So, again, I was on a budget. So at the time, like, it was really expensive to start buying, you know, it's almost, you know, double the price, or I don't know what it is now. I haven't looked in a long time, but probably. So, you know, I started to naturally eat less of that stuff, less of the meat, less of the eggs and the dairy, just because it was getting more costly. And I was just trying to be a little bit more conscious about how much of it I consumed, because I started to, you know, to kind of associate the fact that every time I eat that, it's like, that is an animal on my plate. And then it was just sort of a natural evolution to continue to look into, you know, how animals are, you know, being treated and how they all just want to live. And then started to realize like the personalities of the animals. And like, if, you know, if given the chance, you know, cows and chickens and all this just have like, you know, they just want to be loved and, you know, given the chance to have, you know, families and explore their environment and, you know, just like our dogs and our cats and stuff like that. So, you know, I had a cat at the time, I had a bird at the time, and I'm looking at these things while I'm eating like chicken and eggs and stuff. And I just like, eventually it just didn't feel good anymore for me. And I just, you know, phased it out. And throughout that time, I started to notice some health, positive health effects as well. Like my skin got clear. I found I was waking up early, like, you know, easier in the morning without feeling groggy and brain fog. And one of the things is my, a lot of my joint pain went away. I was running a lot of the time and, you know, my ankles started to feel better when I was running. And so, you know, I thought, wow, there's really something to all of this. And yeah, that was sort of how it all started.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? When you look back on yourself, you know, before you made that emotional connection, because I always think the emotional connection is such a big part of it. But it's almost a case of just not knowing. And I think when you have that perspective, it's so easy to have compassion for people who are not, you know, on a plant-based diet themselves, or, you know, they're good people. They just have not made that emotional connection. And that's always the place I try and come from, knowing that, you know, I certainly haven't had this worked out for my whole life. In fact, for the majority of my life, I was eating animal products because I never made that connection. And when you look at, you know, your dog or your cat or, you know, even a cow you pass in a field, you can see that these are intelligent, sentient beings that feel emotions. And when you can look at them from that place, then it becomes a really easy decision. You know, things start to fall into place quite naturally.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with you. And yeah, that's an important point to remember. Like I, you know, before that moment, it's not like I didn't love animals, you know, I obviously did, you know, we all do. So yeah, it was just about making that connection. So yeah, it's important to remember that when we're, you know, it is easy to be, you know, emotionally charged with this sort of thing and be overly critical of others. But yeah, sometimes just people just, you know, aren't there. And it took, you know, whatever it took for me to, you know, for that light to kind of turn on in my life, you know, it's going to take something else for that to turn on in someone else's. So yeah, we gotta just kind of keep being the example and hopefully, you know, everyone eventually figures it out.
For sure. And then, so obviously you fast forward to today, you've turned what started off, you know, as a passion, a plant-based diet and health and nutrition into a career. Can you talk to me a little bit more about how that journey came about and, you know, how you moved into the world of, first of all, practicing nutrition privately and now doing it to a much wider audience via YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. The stories are all linked. So basically, then once with all this knowledge and my like passion for health and nutrition and all this, I kind of really started to you know, get frustrated with the jobs that I was having because I noticed that they weren't, you know, environmentally conscious. And, you know, I was in marketing at the time. And yeah, I just, you know, a lot of the products that I was pushing, I started to not believe in, and I started to kind of see, you know, holes in it. And I'm like, man, I don't feel good about this anymore. Like, what can I do? And sort of just, you know, kind of checking off all the boxes, I kind of realized, okay, well, I want to go into nutrition. Like I love helping people. I love working with food. You know, I love, you know, taking like pictures of food. I knew that would somehow be a part of it. Right. And, it's just sort of, you know, it all kind of led to that. So it was a really scary time because I was like 30 years old. I'd gone to school for public relations and, you know, after high school, and, you know, I was working and I had, you know, good job. And I'm like, man, I need a change. And I knew that I had to do it eventually. And I'd been through a lot of jobs before that, just kind of trying to find my way. And now I finally found, like, I think this is it. So yeah, I signed up for school and studied for a while. And I went through the school. It sounds like I didn't finish it. Finished the schooling, and there was a few options that when we got out of there, it was, you know, there was sort of like you could kind of try and do your own thing. You could work for like a, you know, supplement company. You could be sort of an underwriter for a naturopath doctor. You could write meal plans for people. And I thought, well, if I'm just going to be writing, you know, I knew I didn't want to work for a supplement company. Not that, you know, I think there was great jobs in that, but I just didn't want to, wanted to work with food more than that.
Never worked for a supplement company. It's really not what it's cracked up to be.
Well, I wouldn't have been like formulating stuff. I was like, it was like doing demos and stuff like that, which was kind of one of the jobs, you know, like sort of just here, try this sort of, you know, supplement, couple, you know, benefits of it. And then, yep. And then the person would kind of continue along in the grocery store, or, you know, you would go to a sports supplement store and kind of try and sell your products. That was sort of the jobs that were available. I was like, well, I knew I wanted to work with food. That was my goal from the beginning. And, So where was I? Sorry. With the food, sorry, you threw me off with the supplement.
Like, sorry, man, that's me interrupting.
Don't want to work with a supplement company, but of course, you know, it was different than a company like Vivo. It was not what I wanted to be doing. So, anyways, decided, hey, if I'm going to be just writing meal plans or whatever for a naturopath doctor, I just want to do it for myself. And I don't want to have to be doing it, you know, under someone else's guise. And I was definitely vegan at the time. And I thought, well, I don't want to be working for somebody if they're going to be telling me like, oh, okay, you have to write this meal plan for, you know, someone who wants to eat all these, you know, dairy products or meat and eggs and fish or whatever. And I thought, no, I just want total control, total autonomy of what I'm doing. So, that's when I decided I'm going to start my own thing. And it had a different name at first. It wasn't Simnet Nutrition. It was something different. And I just kind of, I didn't know all the answers when I started, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know how I was going to, you know, tax stuff. I didn't know any of this for running a business, but I thought I knew I wanted to do it and help people the best that I could. So I started taking on clients just as soon as I finished school, and just doing one-on-one consulting. And I started my YouTube channel up to sort of complement that. And because I wanted to get free information out there for people that couldn't necessarily afford to work with me, or didn't, not that it was all that expensive at the time, but, or didn't want to maybe commit to that. Right. I just wanted to put some recipes out there and a bit of information and maybe, you know, put the seed of veganism into some people's minds if they happen to stumble across my videos on YouTube. So, you know, the goal was just at the end of my videos to say, hey, if you want, you know, if you like this information and you want some nutrition consulting from me, my information is down below. I thought it was perfect, and it worked out really well and started to get clients really quickly. I got busier than I needed to, or than I could handle, like pretty fast. And my channel started to grow. And it was when the channel started to grow really quickly, I kind of realized, wow, like I could put my time and effort into this, or more time and effort into this, and reach a wider audience of people, you know, than just, you know, taking these one-on-one clients where I was like so limited to how many people that I could sort of help and reach and touch. And it just kind of kept going like that. And I just continued to, you know, do my YouTube channel, and it continued to grow. And here we are today. And I eventually phased out the one-on-one consulting because I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't keep up with both, and one had to kind of go. And I just wanted to just reach as many people as I could.
There's a beautiful message in there that I picked up on. And that's something that I think is something that people struggle with, and myself included. And that is chasing perfection before you've even started. You know, there's a big thing in our culture that makes you feel you should have everything worked out, and you should have a plan, and you should, you know exactly what you're going to do. And the way you explain like how you started this, and like really not, it was all a mystery. You know, you didn't know how to file tax accounts and how to, you know, do all these different things that come with running a business, but you went for it and you followed your heart, and you know, you learn these things over time. And the thing that always becomes clear to me when I chat to people who are doing what they love is that, you know, at the beginning, they very rarely have it all worked out, if ever. I don't think I know anyone that ever did. But the common theme is that they follow their heart and they follow what they're passionate about. And, you know, thankfully, it leads to a place of success, and most importantly, a place of purpose as well. Like actually doing something that, you know, is making a positive difference in the world, which I would argue is the very definition of success. You know, if you can make a difference in people's lives as your career, then you're laughing.
As a whole, I feel so lucky, fortunate, blessed, thankful to be doing what I'm doing. I just couldn't imagine living a different life. It's unbelievable. Sometimes I just have to pinch myself, but yeah, you're totally right. And that's whenever people ask me for advice, they say, Derek, you know, like you know, what advice do you have for someone that's starting this up, or what's, you know, what, a lot of the time it's like details, like what microphone should I get or what camera should I get? And I always tell people, like, those sort of details you can figure out along the way, but you just have to start. Don't wait until you have the perfect camera or the best camera or the perfect business name or the perfect business logo, or you have the whole, you know, 5-year map, you know, for your business plan. Like, don't wait, because you will never have all those ducks in line and you'll continue to stall. So what you have to do is you just have to start, and you have to start somewhere. And if it seems like too big of a challenge, then you've got to make smaller challenges or smaller goals. You got to break it up into smaller. So it's like, I don't know how to start a business. Like, I don't even, like, where do I even, okay, well, your first step is like, why don't you just like look up some, you know, maybe look online to see some government agencies, right, that you could call to get information about that. Just get a number at first, you know, that's the first step. It's like, you just got to keep breaking it down to smaller steps. Not that that was the first step at all, but that was the stuff that really scared me, was like the paperwork and stuff. Like, I know I can run a business on my end, like, you know, just by continuing to be consistent and present and showing up every day. But I didn't know any of that sort of stuff. But yeah, you just got to start.
Yes, sir. And you can apply that analogy to pretty much every element of your life too, you know, your fitness, your nutrition.
Oh.
I remember, I've told this story before actually, but I had a friend of mine who called me up, and he was talking about this new scientific study that had been found about ways of cooking potatoes, and how cooking potatoes in the oven created this carcinogenic substance that potentially caused the potatoes to be less nutritious, and they could be harmful. And but it turned out the study was just done on rats, and it was a really small study. And anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that this guy, love him to pieces, but he wasn't a healthy guy at the time. Wasn't even putting his basic things on the table, like, you know, eating his fruits and vegetables every day, like cooking for himself and for the majority of his meals. And, you know, he got so caught up in the minute details that actually he didn't take those first steps. And really, you know, eating a potato is a healthy thing to eat, you know, as long as it's not fried in loads of vegetable oil or whatever. And
yeah,
it's just a case of just focusing on those small things that you can do to get a little bit better every day. And that may be just going in and doing your workout or cooking yourself a healthy meal and not getting caught up in those little details, because they can come over time. You know, if you want to add the details, if you're in the gym and you want to build bigger shoulders and you find that doing a lateral raise at 35 degrees is better than doing it at 45 degrees, do that, but do that 10 years down the line after you've actually, yeah, you know, you've trained consistently for a few years. Going off at tangents like I usually do, but
No, I hear you. No, it is the minutia that gets people stuck a lot of the time, stuck on the details when that's such a small percentage of it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that is something that really appeals to me about your work as well, is that you make healthy eating accessible, and you make it something that people can follow and have fun following as well. And that, I think, is really important. So I'd love to just hear some of your tips for making healthy eating enjoyable and making it a practice that people can stick to, because people get overwhelmed when they read loads of studies about how to eat healthy, how to do this, and, you know, how if I'm an average person saying to you, like, I want to eat healthy and I want to make healthy food taste good, what advice would you give me?
Right. Okay. Well, I often tell people to just start, you know, just cook the foods and the meals that you're familiar with, but just work on making them a little bit healthier. Right. So, you know, if you, and it's usually sort of, you know, a lot of the time it's sort of transitioning to plant-based as well, which is where a lot of the, you know, a lot of the recommendations come, and it happens to be healthy as well. But yeah, just starting to chip away at it and do a little bit every day, and not necessarily thinking that you have to completely switch all at once, right, in order to get to feel some benefits. I think, you know, just working on one meal a day, starting to dial that and getting a healthier meal. But as far as making it taste good, right, like, I mean, you know what I'm going to say. I mean, you pretty much, I think you knew when you asked me this question, you got to have some good sauces, right? You got to have some good sauce.
I was waiting for it.
And some people don't like, yeah, some people don't like, you know, saucy food, and that's fine. And if you do, then you're probably eating plain stuff and you don't mind anyway, so you wouldn't be asking this. But yeah, I think sauces is a big one, and not necessarily relying on store-bought sauces all the time, because as we know, those are often highly processed. They have, you know, a bunch of, you know, they can have preservatives, stabilizers in it, not to mention just a ton of oil and salt, and generally not very healthful. So what I like to do is incorporate sauces into my food that is not only going to like make it taste better, but also going to boost up the nutrient content of the food and actually be like quite healthful. So that's, yeah, kind of my thing. I mean, you know, I love tahini based sauces, you know, cashew based sauces as well. And then, you know, like, yeah, learn, you know, red pepper dressings, all that sort of stuff. Like the thing that is really cool for me now is that like I can make a sauce out of just like anything that I have in the fridge. And it took a while to get there and a lot of experimentation, a lot of failures, right? And like we said before, you just have to start, you got to start trying. But yeah, learning how to sort of, you know, make your own food a little bit more exciting with ingredients that you already have, learning how to blend things together, you know. And I always say, okay, so let's give some practical advice here. And I'm sure everyone knows if they follow me that this, but in order to make a good sauce, I think it's important to have a few different elements. And it's usually the different tastes are sweet, salty, and sour or tangy. And if you can kind of hit on those three tastes, then you can often make a good sauce. So for sweet, you know, you could obviously use blended dates, or you could use maple syrup if you wanted, or that could even mean like, you know, using an apple or who knows, something sweet in the sauce. And then something salty would be tamari, Bragg's, soy sauce. You could use salt, obviously, sea salt or whatever you wanted to use. And then something tangy, and that would be like apple cider vinegar or lemon or any, you know, regular vinegar. So if you can kind of use that as sort of like a base, and that's not a sauce right there. Of course, you have to add something to carry the flavors. And a lot of time that's going to be something that's a little bit more fatty, like some, you know, slice of avocado or some tahini, like I mentioned before. And then add some, you know, some spices and flavors that you like. Garlic powder and onion powder are the twin pillars to my cooking, I always say. But, you know, there's lots, you know, chili spice and there's curries and there's all sorts of different things that you can add to it. And yeah, then you got to just blend it up and taste it and figure it out. You're like, oh, you know what? This needs a little more sweetness. Well, you know what to add. Oh, this needs a little bit more tang. Well, you know, you already know what to add. There you go.
That's it. Like a good sauce can save any meal. And especially, you know, certainly I did when I started to eat more healthy, I just steam foods and boil foods and like make foods really bland because I didn't know what else to do with them. And, you know, you're having a good sauce and a go-to, like two or three go-to recipes when it comes to sauces that you can, you know, you can have on hand and, you know, they're going to fix anything. So for me, it's tahini and coconut aminos. Like that's just amazing combo. Just whisk the two up, put a bit of almond milk in there or something, and you're good to go. So just having those fail safe. So then, you know, if you make something and it does taste a bit bland because it does take time, then you've got those things to fall back on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it is important to mention while we're on this topic that your taste buds do change over time. So for anyone that is, you know, struggling and they find that the food tastes really bland or whatever, it's not that you should just wait until all of a sudden your taste buds change. Like obviously you want to, you want your food to taste good, but I think, you know, focusing on, you know, continuously that you have a little less salt, a little less, you know, oil on your food, a little less, you know, sugar with things. If you are trying to do that, eventually your taste buds will start to kind of wake up and be in tune with like the natural flavors of our foods, and you'll taste celery and you'll be like, wow, this is actually salty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it does. It definitely happens from, you know, just on your taste buds and from a gut microbiome level as well. Things will change in there and you'll start to crave different foods. And so yeah, it does take a little bit of time, but it will happen.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
And so another thing I wanted to touch on as well is like seasonal eating, because I know that's something that you do really well in your recipes. I've seen recently you've got obviously in Canada you're celebrating Thanksgiving and you've got all your different recipes coming up. Talk to me about seasonal eating and the importance of it, and how does your diet change as the seasons, you know, wind their way through the course of the year?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think just naturally I tend to crave, you know, more warming foods and more cooked foods in the and starches and stuff in the winter time. And in the summer, I definitely eat like more fruit and that, and it's just like that happens to be available then as well, right? So, yeah, it's definitely nice to try and eat within the seasons. But I just feel better that way. Of course, more smoothie bowls and you know, fruit bowls and that in the summer and more smoothies. And then in the winter, it's sort of more, you know, oatmeal and, yeah, baked veggies and that sort of thing. And it's, yeah, I mean, the food's, you know, it's best if you can eat in season, you're going to get the freshest, the best tasting food. It's going to be the most cost effective. It's going to be the best for, you know, our environment and stuff. But I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal because I have like a bunch of bananas sitting beside me and, you know, some raspberries in the fridge and stuff. So I'm no angel by any means, but I definitely do try and sort of like, you know, swing that, you know, in that general direction.
Yeah. And I think it's a lot of the time is just getting out of your own way, isn't it? Because your body is naturally craving, if you're in tune with your body, it's naturally craving those kind of foods anyway. And, you know, I certainly, like you, in the winter, I just feel so much better eating warming foods, eating more hot and cooked foods. And then in the summer, you know, I'll move more towards higher fruit diets, more sort of raw foods, lighter foods, that kind of thing. Yeah. It just works really well. And again, I think it comes from that place of not overthinking it, listening to your body, and also realizing we are seasonal creatures. You know, we move with the seasons just like produce does. So really the things mm-hmm. that are available at these times of year are probably the right things to be eating. And this time of year, dude, it's like my favorite time of year for food, because
yeah, I know,
oh, so good. Pumpkin, squash, like all roasted root vegetables. We've also got I don't know if you call them Sharon fruit or persimmon. I'm just addicted right now. They're so good.
Yeah, I haven't seen any on the shelves actually here. We usually get them a little later on, but yeah, they're really good. It took me a little while to get to love the persimmons. What do you call them there? You guys always have a different name for stuff in the UK.
We have, well, they're actually two different things. So we have Sharon fruit and persimmon, and they're two different fruits, but they look exactly the same.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, I always feel like I need like a handbook when I go over there. You speak the same language, but it's like they'll be like aubergine, you know, this like aubergine sauce. I'm like, I don't know what this is. I've never had it before, but eggplant, I know now.
I remember going into supermarkets in the USA, and I was in Whole Foods, and I asked for a rocket, and the guy had to get his manager because he had no idea what a rocket was, and found out it was arugula. And
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, that's funny. Cool. Yeah. So that that's about it as far as my eating. I mean, we did have like a little garden this year as well. So we had a surplus of tomatoes for about like a week. So I was eating a lot of tomatoes, but I didn't, you know, I must admit, I didn't do anything to sort of like can or make sauce out of them. We just ate as many as we could, sort of fresh and in stir fries and that sort of thing. But, yeah, we're lucky here too, because we have fairly mild, I guess like you guys, we have fairly mild winters, so we you know, kale and that sort of stuff grows year round, so you're able to find some heartier greens year round.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. What are the biggest changes you have made in your nutrition in the past few years? And the reason I ask this question is because I think the needs of our body are always changing, and a lot of the time people get kind of trapped in what was working for them, you know, previously. Might not work for them now, you know, and you've always struck me as someone who's very consistent with their nutrition, but have you made any changes, you know, in the past few years to how you eat?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm painfully like consistent, to, you know, probably the detriment of my YouTube channel. I'm not really never doing anything all that fun or exciting or different or, you know, any challenges, but, you know, yeah, I do enjoy being consistent. But the last few years, I've definitely found myself being less habitual about things where, you know, I was like really sort of, you know, just made the same meals over and over again. And that worked for me for a long time. And I really liked it. But I think, yeah, I've started to sort of branch out a little bit more now. And this is not a good thing, but there's so many new like vegan options that are vegan options in the grocery stores, like packaged, you know, faux meats and stuff like this, that it's, man, it's hard not to try them, you know, when you see them. And though I always justify in my head, like, okay, well, you know, if I don't buy them and no one buys them, then they're not going to be on the shelves. So you kind of have to vote for the stuff you want to continue to see. Right. So mm-hmm. that's kind of how I justify it, even though I know it's not the most healthful food, but you got to cast a vote every once in a while. But yeah, that's definitely been a change in the last 3 years, and it's not something I'm excited about or you know, proud of, I guess I would say. But you know, we are living in this day and age, and I want to experience the things that are available to us.
I think there is a lesson to be learned in that, because it also replicates like my journey as well. Like when I first got into healthy eating, I was like very anal is the word about like consuming the right kinds of foods and the right kinds of quantities and making sure I got the perfect balance of this and that. And over time you learn to that actually you can be a lot less restrictive, you know, once you've got that baseline and that foundation in place. And don't get me wrong, I think that that part of my journey was really important because it allowed me to understand like how food makes me feel and really get in tune with my body. But you know, you learn that the 80-20 rule, it is a real thing. You do, there is room for treats and there is room for balance and there is room to go out for dinner with your friends and order what you want on the menu, and you can still be perfectly healthy. And in fact, like I've said this before, but I would argue that worrying about every single item of food that goes in your body is going to be much worse for your health than occasionally getting the Beyond Burger or getting the deep fried gluten or whatever you want to eat or whatever excites you. And of course, like the ethical side is a totally different story. Like I don't look at meat products and think, oh, I'll have that every once in a while as a treat because I have an ethical reason to connect to not eating that product. But you know, from when it comes from a health perspective, there definitely is room for flexibility. So I think that is an important point.
I agree for sure. And yeah, and when I have these, when I do have these, you know, slightly more processed foods or whatever, I don't, it's not the only thing I'm eating in a meal. And, you know, that's important to remember. Like I'll have some faux meats, you know, as a small part of a stir fry, you know, with a salad on the side with some other whole foods where it's not like I'm just, you know, just eating that. And so I think it's for us, for people that have been through sort of, I went through that as well, where it was like, you know, very, I hate using the word, but very, you know, clean sort of thing. Like not very little processes. And you're right. It really helped me recognize what foods agreed with me. Or how foods made me feel, exactly, just like what you said. And what I also learned too was that like the foods that I once enjoyed, even though I still had that emotional attachment in my head, when I would have them again, it wouldn't do the same thing, you know, to me that it used to, or at least it wouldn't bring me as much like joy and satisfaction as I thought it would. So that really made it easier to sort of like not have those foods all the time. Like I was so addicted to pizza, I remember, and I would just like, for a long time I didn't have it and I was just kind of white knuckling it like, okay, I'm not, you know, I'm just not going to eat pizza. And then, there was, you know, and this again, this was 10 years ago. So it was right sort of around that transitionary period. But, and I remember, I was like, you know, I'm just going to go have it. And I remember, just not enjoying it and being like, man, this is not, you know, and it took me a handful of times doing that before I kind of realized, okay, I don't need this in my life at all. But here we are in 2020 and there's like 10 vegan pizzas available on the shelves and,
oh man, like the new generation of vegans coming through, like you guys have got it good. Like especially so my journey started like 4 or 5 years ago, so you're doubling that. And I remember you couldn't go and pick up a vegan frozen pizza. So like even if I wanted a pizza, it would be a case of okay, well I'm gonna find a base and then I'll maybe put some tomato sauce on it and then just some vegetables and hope for the best. And it never hit those same pleasure buttons that a normal pizza would. Whereas now, boom, like if you want the pizza, you're pretty good. I don't know if that makes it easier or harder, to be honest. Like I'm quite grateful for that time I had where I was like, oh okay, well I guess it's whole foods or bust. And now it's definitely not the case.
But I think it gets expensive quickly, and I think, you know, and there's a lot of packaging involved with that sort of stuff, and it's you know, the flavors are often fairly one-dimensional. So I think, you know, I think as long as you have like a healthy balance, I think it's pretty easy to sort of maintain.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Supplement wise. So you mentioned you almost found a job in the supplement industry and here we are a few years later, you know, we've had a long and beautiful partnership working together.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud to call you an ambassador of the brand. And you know, what kind of supplements are you taking? Because I know you don't take a huge load, and that's right. Something that we all preach. You know, you don't need to take thousands of different supplements to be healthy. In fact, there's a select few that work for most people.
Right.
What are you using right now, and why do you use them?
Right. So yeah, sort of my daily regime definitely, or like the things I consistently consume would be. So the protein powder from Viva Life, best protein powder on the market. So whether it be the, you know, the Ritual, the new whole or the Perform, I'm lucky to have, be spoiled with choice there. So I'll have one of those off in my smoothie or a scoop of that in my smoothie or smoothie bowl daily. And then B12 is a must for, you know, everyone eating, or, you know, I mean, it's great to get blood tests, of course. But as you know, generally people, we need to be taking B12. Also, I take D3 and K2, and I think it's also important to look into for everyone. So those are like sort of the main ones for sure. And then I dabble in the omega-3 as well, the algae oil that you guys offer, or that we offer, I should say. I definitely consume that as well. I try and get most of my omega-3s from, you know, from whole foods, from flax, from hemp, from chia. But I think as an insurance policy, it's definitely a nice option to have. So those are sort of, and then creatine as well. That's my consistent, the ones that I sort of consume. And then aside from that, you know, definitely like the Thrive is a really nice supplement to have when I'm feeling like maybe I'm not getting all the nutrition I could be in a day. And what else? Those are sort of the main ones that I'm consistent with. I really like maca. I find that it really helps to kind of, if I have been working out really hard and, you know, maybe not having the best sort of, I don't know, self-care sort of hygiene, like sleep, you know, if I'm sleeping well and resting, all sort of, I feel myself getting a little, not necessarily run down, but, you know, I need a little bit more vigor in my life. I find that maca is, the gelatinized maca is really helpful for that. So I kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, sort of cycle that every, you know, on and off every, you know, couple of weeks or whatever. I'll go through some of that and do find that it does make a difference.
Cycling maca, do you reckon that's going to be the next big thing?
Yes, I don't know. It's maybe, yeah. But I think that is the main ones. I will, you know, there's ashwagandha and those sorts of things in the adaptogens in the Perform. But I will take like ashwagandha as a standalone herb sometimes in like a tea or whatever as well.
Yeah, I like ashwagandha, man. I find it really, really good for my nervous system. It's something that we've got it in the raw hot chocolate, but it's something that I want to play with more because I found really, really good benefits with it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And then the BCAAs. I'll sometimes have the BCAAs before a workout with like some beetroot powder.
Awesome. I think you've listed every Vivo product there. So
I know you're like, well, you know what? It's yeah, I you know, it's, yeah, I mean, like, it's just amazing that you guys offer such, you know, and you're always coming out with new things, but like, yeah, I don't have to worry about, you know, heavy metals and, you know, the quality of them. It's just so nice to be so confident with that. Whereas, I was pretty, you know, a little bit shy to take, supplements before, I would say.
Yeah. And it's been such a fun journey as well, like working with you and alongside you on this, because remember when we first started together, it was just Perform, Thrive and Sustain, and the range has really grown since then. And you know, we've been fortunate enough to be able to get input from people like yourself on creating these products, and now we have, you know, a small but very consistent product range that I think is products that, you know, most of us use on a daily basis. It's really nice to, you know, be able to have that. And especially you know, being, and this comes from myself as well, being closer to the supplement industry, having worked closely to it and knowing what goes into those products, it's made me more and more passionate about like putting the right things in ours and doing all the little steps that you might not see, like the testing and all of these things.
Yeah,
so that's really important.
I agree, man. Like I used to work when I was in school, I was actually working at a supplement shop that, it was sort of more of a natural focused, supplement shop, but they had it all. They had, you know, the whey protein powder and all this sort of stuff. And working there for a year or so, I really got to understand sort of the darker underbelly of the supplement industry. And that's why I was so excited when I, you know, found out that Vivo, you know, does all the third party testing and there is so much integrity because you know, that company that I was, or the store, they wanted to come out with their own protein powder at the time, and they had to buy a batch of testing from like a local facility, like a local lab, just to make sure, you know, I'm sure that you guys have to do, like, to make sure, I mean, you do it all the time, to make sure that, you know, what you say is in there is actually in there. And they knew that their products were 100% good because they were the ones making it, but we tested some other ones that were on the shelf, some other protein powders and stuff, to see if they had as much protein in it as they said. And a lot of them came back not having nearly as much as they said in it. And some of them had, you know, other things that weren't supposed to be in there. And it was really, it really opened up my eyes. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, how, like, I always just thought, like, what's on the label is exactly what's in it. So, you know, that's why I was so excited when you guys did come to me. And yeah, it was kind of funny when my channel just started to grow, there was a few supplement companies that came to me, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm at that point now where this is sort of a reality. And I never really thought about it. And, you know, I was sort of humming and hawing over a few different companies. I didn't really feel that passionate about them. And I was like, I just felt like it was a necessary step I had to take. And I felt kind of guilty for not being excited about it, but I just kind of was like, I don't know. I didn't really resonate with any of the companies that were approaching me. And then you guys approached me, and I was like, man, it was just awesome. It was a match made in heaven. I was just so happy. And yeah, it was really cool. And I'm glad that I've been able to, you know, be a part of it for so long. It's brought me so many like opportunities and memories, and it's just enriched my life like so much. So yeah, thank you. And like everyone out there that's, you know, that's helping to help, you know, Vivo Life thrive. It's just, it's been amazing.
Yeah, I second that. And the memories are definitely a big part of this, because, you know, this movement has not just allowed us to, you know, help people all around the world get healthy, but it's actually brought like some of my closest friends into my life, and, you know, people all around the world. And we've created this incredible community, and I'm really excited for the days when we can be together again and do events like Veg Fair, see everyone, like these sorts of things. They were the moments that I think we look back on and be like, yeah, that they made it real. Because I don't know if you find it, I certainly find it sometimes behind a computer screen, you know, we see, you know, you probably see your YouTube subscribers, I see our customers, but it's not real unless you're sort of with them in real life. And then it's like, wow, okay, like this is actually happening.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it was that, yeah, this meeting everyone at those, at the Veg Fest was just like so eye-opening for me. Like, I remember I was just like fighting back like tears the whole time. Like, people were coming up to say hi to me. Like, I just could not believe it. And yeah, even though you see the numbers, it's amazing. And it feels so heartwarming when you see all the messages and the comments and stuff like that. But yeah, when you actually get to connect with people face to face, and they share their story about how, you know, they found you or their favorite videos or how you've improved their life. And then the butterfly effect of that on how they've gone on to influence their, you know, friends and family to eat healthier. And it's just like, man, my heart couldn't be any bigger during those moments. It's just incredible.
Yeah, man. Dude, yeah. The last question I had written down here was what keeps you motivated, but I feel like you've just told me it's,
you know. Oh, dude. So yeah, so much. Just trying to just staying passionate for everything, and just, you know, and just knowing that the, you know, the more, yeah, just the more work and, you know, honest, hard work that I put out there, the more I'm going to get back. And, you know, yeah, that's kind of what keeps me motivated. And I know that I could, you know, we can always do more, I think. And I sometimes feel guilty about not doing more. But again, like I just want to be, you know, in it for the long haul and just be able to be consistent and not, you know, too, you know, up and down. So yeah, that's just kind of, I just kind of go at my own pace and it's fairly steady, but it works.
Well, yeah, we can always do more, but we can also always do less. And like, I think it's finding like the right balance for us. And that's different for every person. There's a real pressure from society sometimes to do more. But yeah. One thing that always strikes me about what you do is you are remarkably consistent. You know, you may not be the most prolific uploader on YouTube, and you may not have the most clickbaity titles, but you have like such a strong community, and you have videos that every time they deliver value, and they enrich people's lives in such a number of ways. And, you know, I think what I take from that is, you know, don't always push yourself to be the person who's like has the craziest upload schedule and is on, you know, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, podcasts, like all these different platforms. Like, find the thing that works for you, be consistent with it, and most importantly, like, have fun with it. Because if you don't do that, then like you're never gonna stick with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel that for sure. So yeah, I mean, as far as what keeps me motivated, I mean, there, you know, we have a couple of choices, you know, every day, and we could either just choose to be or not to be motivated. And I definitely, every day it's a choice for me, and I can't say that I always choose to be motivated, but I certainly like try and do something, something productive every day. Oh, man. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Nice, man. Well, dude, all that is left to say is thank you for all you do. Thank you for being such a big part of this Vivo community. For if there's anyone listening here that doesn't know where to find you, where can we find you and learn more about Derek Simnett?
Oh, yeah. So it's just Simnett Nutrition, S-I-M-N-E-T-T. Simnett Nutrition on YouTube and on Instagram. I have a recipe ebook as well. I'm currently creating another one, but it's taking a little longer than I wanted to, but we're going to get another one out. But I have a recipe ebook, and then we have an amazing Facebook community surrounding that that ebook. There's almost 10,000 members, I think, on our Facebook page, and it's just incredible. Like every day people are uploading and sharing their meals and asking questions, and it's a nice place, because while it does have a plant-based and vegan focused, it's not it's not super cutthroat, maybe, as you know, some people, people do struggle on there, and they talk about falling off the wagon and I'm having trouble giving up, dairy or this and that. And it's a, safe space for people to do that, which I really like. And there's just so many incredible minds on there that by the time I get to the question, it's already been answered usually. And I just say yep, this is the one here, follow this guy's advice, because it's pretty much exactly what I would say. But that's become a really big part of my life. And I didn't really realize it when we were putting my recipe book out that would become what it was. It was just sort of a value added feature, recipe book, and you get access to this Facebook group as well. But I had no idea that it was going to grow into what it has. And it's really cool. I love just popping in there and seeing everyone supporting each other. It's really amazing.
It's you hit the nail on the head when you said a safe space, and dude, yeah. I think we need those more than ever these days. Whenever I go onto any social media platform, I get overwhelmed by especially Facebook. Oh my God, it's so much, there's politics. And then there's a video of Donald Trump doing something. And then there's something about the pandemic. And it's it doesn't feel like a fun place to hang out. And then I'm fortunate enough to be a member of your community, and also
I love it
too. And there's it's just supportive people on this journey together, not afraid to admit when you make mistakes, which is so important. And not judging each other, and that these spaces, online, offline, whatever, are what we need to create more of in the world. And it's a beautiful thing. And amazing. Great. Thank you for all you do, Derek, and thank you for lending me your time for this podcast. I've really had a blast, as always.
Hey, thanks for giving me the space, and happy to always happy to chat. And hope everybody enjoyed listening, and thanks everybody for listening. It's really cool.
Much love, guys. We will catch you on the next episode. Thank you for listening.